Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And I hope everyone is having a good evening. We're still bothering us with the way that it gets dark so early here. After being overseas, you know, where never it's getting dark at 8:30, here it's 5:30, and we just still feel our bodies still haven't adjusted to that. It's a shock. Okay. Well, it's just me and my daughter Julia tonight. We don't have any guests.
Hello.
So we're going to be talking about various things. I think we completed most of the trip on the last 2 weeks. We were telling you everything that was going on. But I want to give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in, because we're open to call-ins tonight. I have some things we might have for a topic, but then after that, anybody who wants to call in is free to do it and ask questions about anything they want to. Toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Okay, I guess the one last thing we wanted to bring up about the trip that happened in Sydney, which was a really startling thing.
Right.
Well, you know, these forces, I guess you would say, that I work with. And everyone who knows my work knows that I work with what I consider the greatest force there is. It's the source of all knowledge, has answers to everything, and it's the one that does the instant healing that takes place in our work. But they also can be mischievous. And a lot of times things happen in my office, especially, mostly there, because that's where I'm doing most of my sessions. And the things that happen there are really amusing, and I'm so used to it now it doesn't bother me. Of course, it kind of startles some of my clients when they come in. But a lot of it usually is knocking and banging on the walls. And I don't know, you might say it's just energy, but it only happens when I'm with a client, and they seem to say, we're here, we're ready to work.
What I'm getting is they're saying we're not mischievous, it's just for emphasis, and it's different things that happen are emphasizing points that are made. So it's like to really get a point across.
Because, yeah, a lot of times once they start, when the client is sitting there talking, we have an interview process first, and I have to get to know the person. This can go on for a couple of hours or more. And when they're talking about things, a lot of times this knock will be, these are loud knocks. You can't mistake them. It's a loud banging. And it'll happen, and they say, why did they do it there? And I said, I guess they were agreeing with you.
Right. It was probably it was emphasizing something they said or whatever.
So it is a little strange. I don't know if I brought this up before or not, but it used to take place in my old office, the one I was in for 5 years before we were flooded out. That's where it all began. I had a glass door, and it had a Venetian blind on the glass door. And it started when I would be with a client, we're doing the session, and there'd be a knocking on the glass door. And I could see it from where I was, and there wouldn't be anybody outside, because you could see him through the blind. And I thought that was a little strange, and that's how it began, just a knocking on the door. And then there would be like a knocking on the wall, but in that building, it was a cement block building. So there's no way anybody's going to be able to knock on the wall of a cement block building that is built into the dirt and have it sound like that.
Right.
That was one of the first things that happened. And there'd be other minor noises and things that just to kind of get your attention is what it was.
Right.
And I asked them one time during one of the sessions, what was that I was hearing? And they said, oh, it's just us. We just want you to know we're here. So I got used to it, but some of the clients would be a little startled by it. Then I moved into my new office, and I've been in there now for over 2 years, and this louder noise began. It sounds like it's a real loud knocking and banging on the walls. Sometimes it sounds like it's on the ceiling.
I've been in there sometimes and heard it.
You've heard it.
Yes.
But I know when I'm in there by myself, it doesn't happen. It's usually when I've got a client in there. Mm-hmm. But the one time I had a client, and she had something with her hands. It was a carpal tunnel syndrome. And we were talking about that. That was her main reason for coming. They were wanting to operate on her hands. And we were starting the session. We were back in the part where we're going to have the bed. See, whenever I move back to where the bed is, the knocking moves back there, too.
Yeah, well.
From the front part of the building where we're doing the interview, then it moves back there.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying she was hearing something that sounded like typing.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. Okay.
And she said, "Do you hear that?" And he said, "It sounds like somebody typing." And I said, "No, I didn't hear that." But we went on through the whole session. When we were done, we go back into the front part of the building to do the discussion about what the session was about. And then we heard this knocking all the way down the wall till it got to the end of the wall by the door. Then it went bang, bang. And she said, "You heard that, didn't you?" And I said, "Yes, I did. It's just them." And I said, "There's nobody next door."
Mm-hmm.
It was a day when they were closed in the next building, the next office
mm-hmm.
next door
right.
to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of thing keeps happening. And there's been a couple of times there was music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always very beautiful music. And it'd be back there where the bed was. And for a while, next to me, we had a little Mexican store. But even when he had his TV going, you could barely hear it through the walls. But this sounded like it was right in the room, and it was beautiful music. And I'm thinking, where's that coming from? Because I'm getting ready to do the session. And it's really loud.
Lulling her tender peace.
And one time it was caught on the tape, too. You could hear the music. But it would always stop right about the time we were going to start. But the second time, we were getting ready to go, and it was back there, and it was pretty loud. And I kept thinking, well, maybe it's somebody in the next, on the other side of me. We had a place where they ran out walkers, wheelchairs, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I said, maybe she's got a radio going in there. So I said, just give me a minute. I'll go next door and tell her to turn the radio down. So I go next door. And there's a sign on the door, "She's out to lunch." There was nobody over there. So, So we come back. I came back in and told her, "Well, it's not anybody around us because there's nobody there." And then it stopped about that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Mexican store, the people moved, and that was empty. It's been empty for several months. And I had a client just, it was a few months before we started on these trips.
Right.
There was nobody next door. Remember, some of these times there's nobody on either side of me. And we'd already started the session, and the person was already going into the past life. All of a sudden, it sounded like somebody with a hammer. This was the first time I heard that. On the wall, like somebody was hammering, because that was the sound it made. Bang, bam, 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 bam. Just like a hammer on the wall. Well, that was caught on tape.
Right.
I played it for my daughter when I got back to the office. All I could think of was, oh, my gosh, they've rented that empty store out, and somebody's moving in, and they're doing redecorating.
Right.
They're
right.
getting
uh-huh.
ready to open up.
Right.
I thought, well, maybe they won't keep it up. So anyway, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only time it did it. It was no more the rest of the session.
Right.
So afterwards, I went over and looked in the window. Of course, it's still sitting in there empty. There was nobody in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had been in there. So this is the kind of weird stuff that happens. I don't know if you want to call it weird. We consider it normal now.
Yeah, we just live in a different normal life.
Yes, what's normal to us would be weird to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we just know it's them. And they do like to play tricks. Just a minute, I drank something, went down the wrong side. Used to be they would play with my tape recordings,
mm-hmm.
and I had to make a deal with them. Please leave my electronics alone, because I need my electronics. they were doing things that the electronics guys say was impossible to do with tape recorders.
Right.
I said, I don't care, it's doing it. Be static, be voices over voices, all kinds of weird stuff would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them, please leave them alone. So then it got to where they don't bother with it so much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're playing a tape back, it may get chipmunky.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it'll slow down so slow you can hardly make out the words. And the only time we notice that is when we're doing transcribing of a tape.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they haven't really messed with it where you can't hear it at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of my students, we just got an email from the classes we did overseas in Australia, and he said he did one of his first session he did trying this technique, and everything electronic in the house was acting up and going out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I remembered what you said, and I made a deal with him. Please leave my electronics alone.
Right.
Well, I've got clients now who are bringing in these digital recorders, and I haven't got to that point yet because
But you're almost there. We've almost got you there. Don't let me make that face.
Well,
you have to admit you made a big step, and you're toward accepting it.
Well, I just didn't trust the digitals. I've had bad luck with them, and I prefer my tape recorder. But Julie keeps saying that a lot of people don't have tape recorders anymore.
That's
right. So I've figured I'm going to have to switch.
That's right.
But anyway, I have some clients that bring in the digitals, and they lay them there. They want to make their own recording.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm watching if the light's on, and then the light starts blinking, and it goes out.
Well, you just have to make your deal with them on that, too. So.
I asked them about that, what's going on there, and they laughed and they said, oh, the mechanical ones with the tape recorder is a little harder to fool with because it has mechanical parts. The digital, that's easy because it's all done with energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if I do make that step and start using the digital and making so I can give a copy to the people,
talk to them.
I'll have to say, please leave my digitals alone.
That's right.
Okay, but anyway, this stuff is normal for us. But what happened on the class we did in Sydney, and this was a big class there. I think it was 65 mm-hmm. people. We had a big room of people. And we were finished, had done the two days, and we were going to do the demonstration on the Sunday.
Right.
And the woman was describing what was wrong with her and, from what she was looking forward to have help with during the demonstration of the session. And that's when all, what do you want to call it, H-E double toothpicks broke out. Chaos reigned.
You're so funny.
And the students didn't know what to make of it. And we still don't have an adequate explanation.
No.
Okay. We were in a big building. It must have had 7 or 8 floors.
Right. Uh-huh.
Anyway, mm-hmm. we were on about the second or third floor.
We were on the third floor.
Okay. The lady was describing her symptoms, and she's talking about one of the symptoms she was having problems with her bladder. And she said it just constant urination.
Yeah, she said she didn't absorb any of the liquid that she drank. It just went right through her. And she had, problems, with her bladder because it was like she'd always had to be aware where the restroom was. She was very nervous about that because it would just go through her. And
that was her complaint. But she's talking.
That was one of them. I mean, she had other.
Yeah, she had a lot of their physical things.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a connection or not, but when she's talking about that.
Yeah. Right after she said that.
All of a sudden, the students started screaming and running around. I said, what's going on?
Well, yeah.
And it was the ceiling water was pouring through the ceiling right onto the table.
Yeah, it was
table.
Coming out of a light fixture. It started coming out of a light fixture, and then it started gushing out of a light fixture.
I thought it was around that, too. There was,
it was there, and then it started coming around that panel, but it started at the light fixure. I was standing there. I knew I saw
there
it.
There were panels, and it was on those kind of ceilings that had these, like, soundproofing panels, and they had lights in between each one.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, water became coming out of that right on these table where the students were sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So they began jumping up and screaming and running around. And the only thing I could think, is it raining? But no, it's not coming from outside. Mm-hmm. And so they went and grabbed these big trash cans mm-hmm. and put them on the table because it started coming. And then it was mm-hmm. a waterfall.
It was a waterfall, yeah.
pouring out of the ceiling. And it was coming out of two or three places by that time.
It was around that panel now.
That panel, and it was all over, and it was going all over the table, all over the floor. And so we had two big trash cans sitting up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I called the manager, and she came up, and she's going, oh, my God, and this has never happened before. And she starts calling on her walkie-talkie to find out what's going on above us.
But the funny thing, I was telling, okay, guys, if it's you, let's slow it down. Whatever he did to get our attention, he got our attention. Now let's stop it. And it would slow down, then it would start in again.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those trash cans was almost half full of water.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amount of water that was pouring out of that ceiling, mm-hmm. almost like a pipe or something would have broke.
That's what we were thinking, it was a pipe.
But when they came down, they found out what it was. Their explanation was that somebody above us, there was a restaurant and a bar up above us,
mm-hmm.
and that somebody was mopping the floor, and they said a bucket of water fell over.
Yeah, it wasn't so much, I know you could say, okay, it can't be. What got my attention more than anything on the bucket of water, I mean, whether or not it could have been it or not, that doesn't really make sense, but the thing that got my attention was the person, he said the bucket fell over. He doesn't know how the bucket fell over. He said he doesn't know what happened to make the bucket fall over. See, that got my attention, and her saying this has never happened before. Those are the two things that made this a doo-doo-doo-doo thing.
And besides, a bucket of water?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. But I said aside from that, because none of that makes any sense, because how's it going to go through the floor? I mean, none of that makes any sense.
Yeah, because it's a hardwood floor up above. Mm-hmm. How's it going to go through that? Go through the ceiling and come down in waterfalls. It was mm-hmm. way, way more than anybody would have had in a bucket.
Right,
so the
right. Like I said, that wasn't the part that got my attention. It was the part of, I don't know how the bucket fell over.
And
you know, so
never,
that was happening at the same time as this. So it's like there was energy. It was all this was happening throughout that area and causing things to happen. So
weird stuff.
Well, we had a lot of energy. I mean, 65 people. 67 counting you and me, so.
Yeah, and they're all focused.
Mm-hmm.
You have focused energy.
Yeah.
You can see what will happen.
Well, we're powerful beings anyway. Put a bunch of us together, and we've been. I mean, it was a powerful weekend. I mean, that your classes are. And there's a lot of information, a lot of things happening, so it does. It pulls that focus in, and it's.
The energy.
Yeah. And, yeah, always, never be surprised with what might happen in a class.
But anyway, they came up one note, should they clean it up and everything, and by that time we had taken the tablecloth off and everything. I said, no, let's just leave it alone. You can do it after we're finished at lunch break, because it was so weird anyway. But, this is things like that have happened before, though. We were in Johannesburg in South Africa mm-hmm. last year. This was not at the time of the year that they even have storms. It's a drought period.
Well, they kept saying they don't have, their summer officially begins when they have their first rain. And it wasn't time. It hadn't rained, and it wasn't time for it to rain yet. So
so this was the hot time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in there doing the mm-hmm. class. And it was on the last day again, I think. All of a sudden.
Yeah, it was on the demonstration. Mm-hmm.
Just all of a sudden, this huge thunderstorm broke out right over the building mm-hmm. we were in. Lightning
yeah.
and thunder,
and
then
wind and
pouring down rain. And everybody said, well, it doesn't happen this time of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made a comment. I said, does that mean it's summer? And she was like, no, it's not summer.
It's not supposed to do this time of the year. And we got back to the house we were staying in, and this man who was there, he said, I don't know what was going on, but I could see there was a big black cloud right over on that part. But he didn't know where it was. It didn't rain anywhere else.
Right. And the other thing before that, and then we've started noticing it on other trips, is what she was saying, that there are birds around all the time.
Where we
class,
are?
And then in the house we were staying at, there were birds. She goes, they're not, normally there aren't birds around, but I just thought that was the way it was. And there are birds, and if you notice, everywhere we go, there's birds. So, I don't know.
Was it a couple of years ago right at the beginning of our transformation conference on the first day, just starting out, when there was a tornado alert?
That was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right over the hotel.
The tornado went right over the hotel, yes. It was right there.
And it was right over the hotel, so we had to stop the conference. Everybody, their law was we had to leave the auditorium and go to shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And after it went over, didn't do any harm. But the same thing happened when I was in Dubai, too, and that's been several years ago. We were in the middle of the desert in a country club giving my class in Dubai when this huge dust storm came up, throwing all the outside furniture around and everything. So what's happening? Are we generating that energy with the people?
Yes. You're not drawing it. You are it. I mean, everybody in there, that's what you were asking. You're talking about the energy and how it moves when it's in your office and when you move. Well, it's because it's your energy. It's your stuff. Your higher selves. It's them, is you, and it's both of you. And so, of course, when you move, it's going to move with you because it is you. So that's why I was laughing. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
It's the people. It's them. It's not that they... I mean, in an essence, they're creating it, but it's really, it's them. So you
In my sessions, there's just the two of us.
Right.
So there's energy there, and the energy does the healing.
Yeah.
It does miracles. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking then that when we're having a class, there's even more people, and the more people
absolutely.
They are, it all combined energy can make these weird things happen.
Right, and if you have, what I'm hearing, okay, like the chaotic, that's where you can maybe have different kind of focuses or different kind of energy patterns clashing a little bit, and that may be where we get some of this turmoil kind of stuff going on. So it may not be everybody in there, especially with that kind of a number. You probably had varying types.
You know, we had one woman who kept arguing with me about negative forces and stuff like that. And she kept talking about that, possession and negative forces. And I kept telling her no. And so that she was the only one that kept denying up to the end that it was this was positive. There has to be evil forces and all of that. And I'm wondering, what are you doing here? This is not what I teach. Mm-hmm. So you might be right there if there may be one person.
Well, it was more than one person. I mean, see, one person with that many people, if everybody else has an altering view or were all completely in unison on something else, that would have, light overshadows dark. So it wouldn't have had any power. So that's telling me that there are actually more that maybe had confusing thoughts.
Yeah, they weren't sure what was going on.
Right, and so that's what's saying, more confusing than negative or anything. It's more confusing thoughts, and so it's not casting light. It's casting doubt and shadows and not sure, you know, that kind of thing. And so... that just brought it in. So that made it, and then there were then not just being two, okay, I'm seeing that there were several different things, and that creates chaos in the energy.
Because there is powerful stuff that we're working with, and some of it may be very hard for people to understand and accept, even when they see the things happen.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, this is new thought. This is new stuff. I've been thinking about it recently. In general, and it's like, you know, the world that we live in, us, because we're around this and we see this all the time. And like we said, our normal is not normal for other people.
Yeah.
You know, but we're around this, and I just lost the whole thing. Goodness, don't do that to me.
We're around it all the time, and so you mean other people, what's normal for us is not normal for them.
Right, okay. Yeah, and we... you know, we're still, we even are still exploring all of it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like, sometimes I hear what I'm saying, and it's like, this is really out there. But it's our world. I mean, we see it. We see what happens. We see it as real, because it is real. But then if you look at it from somebody else's eyes, who's lived a whole different life and been raised a completely different way, not open. I mean, we were raised open. You guys raised us open, you know, to be open. And
to think for yourself.
Absolutely. And the more, and that's what was coming to me, the more we keep moving, the more that mind just keeps open and open, and just like anything is possible. And that, you know how hard that is to believe and understand? Because we've been raised that there's limitations on everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, and what we really teach in that class is anything is possible. And so people are really trying to wrap their minds around that.
There are no limitations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in my class, in the demos, with this many people watching, we have miraculous healings take place right there.
Yeah. Well, the fact that the subconscious even comes through, some people, that's amazing. Exactly, that's mind-blowing. Then you have a healing happen, or then you have whatever. I mean, they're just going, oh, my God, you know, what's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, like I said, that's our normal, and that's really your normal. You see it every single day, you know? So,
yeah. What we call the subconscious is what I work with, but I didn't know what else to call it. But it is this great force,
right,
that has the answers to everything, and it does miracles.
Right.
With
you know,
healing.
See, we have no doubts. We have no one. But I think sometimes we forget that other people do. But then, but by us standing there going, you know, this is what I see, this is what I know, this is what I mean, I'm around it all the time, that helps them until they see it for themselves. But it, but I'm saying is, you know, they do have, I'm just saying, I thought about that as like, wonder how other people sometimes see things, because,
yeah.
I mean, this is just how
but
we've been
living. But I know
living,
there are times
so.
At the end of the class, some of the students will ask me, will we be able to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's why
mm-hmm.
I'm teaching
mm-hmm.
it.
Right, right.
You do it step by step, what I show you
yeah.
to do, that you can do it too.
Oh,
but
my goodness, and the students are always telling us the things that are happening.
Oh, yeah, they are now,
yeah.
but some of them think, I mean, I'm the only one that can do it, and
mm-hmm.
are we going to be able to talk mm-hmm. to them, or are we
right.
going to
well,
be able to have these
well, because it is
things?
So grand. I mean, it's so, that's over that limit of possibility. It's like, oh, my God, this is something only special people can do, you know, and you're saying I can do it. It's almost like that, you know, like the grand poopah is saying, oh, now, you know, everybody can
but
do this.
Anybody can do it as if the belief system is very powerful.
Yes, it is.
Of course, but they say no limitations.
Right.
There are no limitations
mm-hmm.
unless you place them on yourself.
Right.
Everything is possible.
Absolutely.
You can have anything you want. You create your
mm-hmm.
reality. There
mm-hmm.
there isn't anything you can't do. So when I'm applying it to my work, yeah, we do have miracles happening
mm-hmm.
all the time.
Right.
And, like, I figure we taught about 150 people, I think, on this last trip.
Right.
And we had fantastic healings in each class.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Extraordinary
so
things.
For them
definitely.
To see that,
mm-hmm.
of course, there's other ones that are going to think, well, it can't be. I don't know
right.
what I saw, but it can't be possible.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about, is that mindset, or that mind, even when it's right in front of you, you're still going to make it the way you want it to be.
Yeah.
Based on your limitations or lack of limitations.
But then, can they do this or not is going to depend on them.
Yeah, and what they believe. And so what will probably happen is they'll get things, and that's probably maybe some of the people that don't get some of the miraculous stuff is because they don't believe they can, and they're waiting to be shown and proven to. And it really does, which goes along with your next thing you're going to say, it really does go with the belief. You have to believe it first. That's always been the thing. You have to believe it before you'll see it. It's not the seeing is believing. It's the believing is seeing. You have to believe it.
And there's the trust, the belief and
mm-hmm.
trust factor. And I trust them implicitly because I've seen what they can do. But that's the thing we were going to talk about, too. This has been coming up time and time again, though, that I say, you know, there isn't anything they can't
right.
heal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They said the body is never reaches mm-hmm. a point where it cannot be brought back.
Right.
Of course, a lot of it depends on how much damage the doctors have done.
Well, or if it's your time. I mean, if you have said that this is my exit point, then, you're probably not going to want to be healed if it is your time.
Well, of course, that's the conscious mind versus that other part of you that makes the plans. Because when you come into a life, you make a plan. Mm-hmm. This is what I hope to accomplish in this lifetime. You make contracts with other people, what you want to work out. But part of that plan is the exit plan.
Right.
This is how I'm going to go out. This is when I'm going to go out.
Mm-hmm.
They say no one ever dies until they are ready to die.
Right. Not 1 second sooner than they're planning to.
And that's why it doesn't do a whole lot of good to keep the body alive once the spirit has decided to go on.
Right.
They are no longer in that body. So we've had a lot of discussions about those things, too. But anyway, I've always said that. It can heal anything, but it all goes back to the person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They have free will. You can never go against their free will. Now, you would think everyone would want to be healed, especially the ones that come to see me. You would think that.
Right.
But that's not the way it is. And that's what I'm finding out, and this has been a big surprise to me because I really, really want to help everybody that comes in.
Right.
And I would think when they go to all the trouble to come and see me that they really want to be healed. But I'm finding out that's not true.
Right. And I'm getting this, but also it's something we've discussed before, so it's not anything new, guys.
Okay.
It's that responsibility issue. I mean, they are responsible for their own healing and their own health. And some of the people are coming in to, do it to me, fix me, fix me.
Oh, yeah, it's always fix me.
And that mode will never get it done. I mean, that's what you go to the doctors for, and the doctors know that's not what's getting it done. The person has to be responsible for their own health.
They have to be responsible in realizing they got themselves into this in the beginning.
Exactly, and they are the ones to get themselves out.
They have to get themselves out.
But and what you actually do in the session is you connect with that source, and that gives the guidance. It actually will do the process, and it also gives a guide, like where it came from, how it came, the whole thing, so they know what caused it. And then that's where they come in themselves when they hear that. It's like, okay, that's where the responsibility thing is. I created this for this reason. I did this. Now, don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because so many times it's like they just go back out to their lifestyle or the pattern that caused it. Well, that's going to keep causing it.
That's what I try to tell people when they come in, and I say this in lectures too. You should never, ever be sick.
Mm-hmm.
You should never have any aches, pains, physical symptoms at all, because the human body is a miraculous machine that has been created to heal itself and take care of itself if we don't interfere.
Right.
It can do it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It is a magnificent machine.
Oh, it is.
My years of nursing, that's where I was just amazed. I was fascinated by the body. The body is fascinating. It really is, and what it can do. And
it's a miracle that it even heals itself in normal times, you know, from broken legs.
It's a miracle all the time. It's constantly doing miracles. And then, as I'm doing exercising and things like that, then I'm seeing even more what it can do as it builds itself and builds in health and it builds strength and things. All those things are miraculous things. They're fascinating things what the body can do.
We don't appreciate it.
No.
Too many people out there abusing this beautiful machine.
Right.
But that's what I try to tell people. You make yourself sick. And a lot of people don't want to hear that. They say, what do you mean? I don't want to be sick.
Mm-hmm.
But if your mind is powerful enough to make yourself sick, it's also powerful enough to heal you. First, you got to find out, why did I do this to myself?
Right.
You have to admit to yourself you did create it, and you created it for a reason.
Right. Responsibility. You got to take responsibility
for it.
This
is not on a conscious level, because no one on a conscious level says, well, I'm going to go out and be sick. You don't think they do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's never on a conscious level. It's always on this other level that these other things come into play and you make yourself sick. It could go back to things in your life right now, circumstances in your life and what's happening right now. Things in childhood have a way of bubbling up. People bury them and they hold them in there for years and years, and then they finally come out later.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can go back to past lives.
Right.
and you carry over echoes of it,
right,
or memories of it from other lifetimes.
Right.
So it all boils down to finding out the cause of why you did this. And then, of course, yeah, you have to be willing to release it and let it go.
Right.
Now, I've seen thousands and thousands of people. The vast majority of them want to release it. They want to let it go. They don't want surgery. They don't want hospitals and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, you know, the ones I work with, they always say no surgery, no invasion of the body. It's never necessary. The body can take care of itself. And they also say no drugs because all drugs have a side effect. Natural things, alternative herbs, they say is fine because there are no side effects on that. But what I do in my sessions is I counsel with the person to find out about their life, about a lot of things they haven't even thought about.
Right.
We go back all through their life. We want to know about their childhood. We want to know about things happening in their life. And a lot of them have never really sat down and put the two things together to find out what was causing it.
Mm-hmm.
As an outsider, I could see
it. Right, well, they don't ever think. I mean, you don't put the two together. No doctor will ever do that. Like, that's not the way people think. That's not the way we've been taught to think, is what was going on in your life at the time this happened. It's just, this happened. You must have, you know, I mean, whatever. It just never is put together. So that's why they don't think about it, because we're not taught to think that way.
Yeah, and they always say there's no such thing as an accident.
Right.
They'll do one. If you're not going to listen, they're going to get your attention one way or the other. And they'll start out very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Little slow, little hints trying to get your attention, trying to tell you something. Because the body does not lie. It's always trying to give you a message. If you don't understand it, it gets a little more and a little more. Then pain enters in. Pain is one good way to get your attention.
Yeah.
And if you still don't understand what it's trying to tell you, a little more pain, a little more, and most people still can't figure out what it's trying to tell them.
Right.
So then it ends up eventually.
Or they ignore it. They are getting the message, but they're choosing not to.
Or they go to the doctor, and the doctor more or less puts a Band-Aid on it because he doesn't understand himself what's causing it.
Right.
No doctors that I know of are going to sit down with you. They're in now. They're in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. They may be raising a new group now. I don't know.
I hope so.
Most of them.
They come in, and they look at your chart. They take your vitals and prescribe another pill or something. They don't sit down and talk to you and say, how is your marriage going?
Right. Well, remember, this is new thought. That's not how anybody's taught up until now. That's why they've told you this is the therapy of the future, because this is a new way of putting things together and thinking.
But if the doctor were to sit there and talk to the person about, tell me about your marriage, what kind of problems you're having, tell me how's your job going, they may find out a lot more about what's causing the person's illness and their problems.
Mm-hmm.
Some psychologists do it, but they still don't know how to put it all together anyway.
I have been seeing, and I know this is strange. I was really impressed and surprised. They've hit it on the head. The Biggest Loser, that show. You know, I watch it. It's very inspiring. But what they are wonderful about is they get to the root of the person. They talk and talk and talk. They actually are working them down until they finally break through to why they put all that weight on, what caused it. But it's not like, I mean, they make them responsible. What caused this? And that's a lot of the show, is they figure out what made them do this themselves.
Then they have to take responsibility.
Yeah, then the weight falls off. You know, and everybody's amazed at how fast they're losing the weight. They're working their buns off, but it usually really starts falling off once they've made that breakthrough and they get it.
What
caused it? Then they release it, you know.
But what's discouraging to me is that everybody doesn't want to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see myself why they would want to be sick, but this is what I'm finding out. We all know people in our lives. People out there listening do. You know people in your life who really enjoy being sick. they like to tell everyone that they, your friends and everybody, they like to tell you about the latest medicine they're taking, mm-hmm. or what the doctor said.
Right.
Going to the doctor is a social event.
Right.
Or if they're going to have to go in the hospital, they want to fill mm-hmm. you full of all the gory details. It becomes their life. It becomes the only reason why they're alive is all their aches and pains.
It may be the only way they get attention.
That's what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It is attention, mm-hmm. and especially from their family and everything. If it serves them.
Right. It's going to have some purpose. It's going to serve them. They have a payoff.
It's got to serve them.
They have a payoff of some kind. I like the word serve better. It does serve them. So.
But if they don't... if you were to, that's all they have. They don't have anything else in their lives. Now, if you were to take that away, they don't have anything.
Exactly.
So they're not going to let it
and
go.
And until they can see themselves with something else, they're not going to let it go because it's a void, and we don't know what to do with a void.
What am I going to do now? I'm not going to get attention. People aren't going to pay attention to me. People aren't going to do things for me. There's always something like that.
Right. Yeah, that may be the only way they get what they're looking for.
Whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I've found, because it gets discouraging. We'll go through a session, and the subconscious has done a beautiful job.
Right.
It's gone in there, and it has fixed everything. It says everything is fine.
Right.
Then right after the session, we're doing the discussion. I had one woman like that. I spent 7 hours with that lady.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time before, listening to all her problems, and then the session, and then afterwards. And right after the session, she's telling me, I said, everything is done. Everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I've been sick all my life. I've been sick since I was a child. I'm never going to get well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's really interesting is that she didn't make the correlation that that belief system is what created the whole thing and what will also keep her from being well, because it's so obvious. Now to her it probably isn't, but I don't know how it's not.
The subconscious has done its job.
Absolutely.
Now her belief system says nothing's ever going to heal me. I'm never going to get well.
Right.
Why do these people go from healer to healer to healer?
Because
and
it's
they,
the fix me thing. You know, it's just the
attention. But here afterwards, it's
same reason people go to doctors. You know, they like the attention of somebody, professional, whatever. It's just attention. So.
Yeah, that's what she said, and it was really discouraging. And I spent another hour trying to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
No, I've always been sick. I'm never going to get well. So I've had a couple like that.
Right.
I had one on the phone after she left, and I know she was okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She came on crutches. And when she left, she even forgot her crutches. And I had to go out to the car and give them back to her. I said, you're not going to need them anymore, but here they are. But as soon as she gets home, it all started in again.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls on the phone and is yelling and screaming at me, you promised me you would fix me. You promised me that you would heal me. I don't promise anything because I don't do it.
Exactly.
I'm just a facilitator. They are the ones that are doing the healing. The minute anybody using my method starts thinking they are doing it,
that's the ego. Uh-huh.
The student.
Yeah,
if the student starts thinking they are the ones that are doing the healing, that's ego.
Yeah, that's with any of these methods, because anybody that does like energy work, any of that, you can feel it comes from somewhere else and comes through you. You know very well you're not doing it. You're just kind of being a directional aid
I call myself the facilitator. I know how to contact them, how to allow the energy to come in, and I see it work, and it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But it is discouraging when it calls back on that person has got to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a woman, she had diabetes, and she was giving herself shots every day, and her blood sugar was up to 300.
Mm-hmm.
But during the session, she was healed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was done. They said it was so fast. They said, it's done. It's done. It's over. And then afterwards, I was talking to her, and I said, well, I can't tell you to stop giving yourself shots. But what if you were taking insulin and you didn't need it? Would that harm your body?
Mm-hmm.
She said, you don't have to worry about that because Before I give myself a shot, I take my blood sugar. Then
right.
I know how much to give myself.
That's called a sliding scale. They have to test it, and then they know what to give themselves.
So. Anyway, she called me up 2 days later, and her husband kept saying, well, aren't you going to give yourself a shot? Because the insulin was in the refrigerator. She said, I don't need it anymore. There's the belief system.
Right.
Because the day after... Next morning, after mm-hmm. she'd seen me, she took her blood sugar, and it was 80.
Right. That's
and it has never gone up, and that's been 4 years.
Right.
But the belief system was in there. She uh-huh. said, I don't need it anymore. She believed it, and she knew
yeah.
it, and it was real.
Right. Well, you know, when you come down to it, we can all do this ourselves.
Yes.
It's just a matter of believing.
And we depend on somebody outside
right.
of
we
ourselves.
Always go outside of ourselves and things. And so this is probably one of the closer things that says, okay, this is coming through you. It's happening through you. But if we would just, that's all we have to do is believe that we can do it. Believe I am healed. People do that all the time. It's a matter of getting to that belief level.
Believing we are God.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
We are all gods.
Mm-hmm. And because we can do it completely ourselves. We just have a hard time believing that.
We have tremendous power that we don't
mm-hmm.
even know.
Yeah.
But I want to give some examples that have come up in the last several months. And I was getting discouraged by this, but then you said it's because I see so many people.
Yeah, yeah, and you're seeing...
serious illness.
Yeah, more and more serious. As your work keeps getting out there, you're getting the... You're not getting a true cross-section, I don't
mm-hmm.
think. So,
I'm not getting as many curiosity seekers.
No.
I'm getting people coming from all over the world who are
mm-hmm.
really seriously ill.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing more and more really bad cases. Now, a lot of them are healed. A lot
mm-hmm.
of them really are helped. But in the last several months, I've had people, and I was jotting some of these things down, is what came out is the reasons for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember, it's never on a conscious level.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes out, well, sometimes they're talking to me, they don't realizing they're revealing it
absolutely.
Without really realizing what they are saying.
Absolutely, and if people would just look at what they say, really look at it, that's what they were saying. We have all the answers inside of us, and that's obvious when they start talking, and
mm-hmm.
but you just said it.
Well, this one man... he had a very serious disease, serious illness that was life-threatening. And where we sat there and talked, he said he was raised in the Catholic schools. Now, I'm not a fan of these Catholic schools, not after what my clients have told me, really. And I'm sorry out there if I'm offending anybody's religious beliefs. But this man said he was raised in the Catholic schools, and he was taught by the nuns that the only way to get to heaven was to suffer. That's a ridiculous belief, I think.
Church.
God doesn't want anybody to suffer. He wants them to be happy and healthy. But they said the only way to get to heaven was to suffer. So he said as a little kid, he is praying to God to give him a serious illness so he could suffer. And I said, why would you want to suffer? He said, well, I want to go to heaven, don't I? So this is the kind of thing, some of this starts like that, even in childhood or even older,
right.
that you got to suffer, so I got to make myself suffer, so they create something to do it. It's fulfilling.
Right, absolutely.
Your mind, you don't stop to think, is this good or bad?
Mm-hmm.
You ask for it, you're going to get it.
It's a means to an end.
You ask for it, you're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I had another man, too, who was getting, he was a serious illness, and he was getting worse and worse as he went along. Now, he had been raised in a family where their parents, they kept telling him, you're not worth anything, you can't do anything, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're never going to amount to anything. Really, good for the person's ego as a child,
mm-hmm.
making them think they're not worth anything. So he was raised like that. So when he grows up, he gets married, and he has a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of responsibility in the job. But it came in, he developed this illness,
mm-hmm.
and now he can't work anymore. But it came out that he thought on this other level that if he was sick,
mm-hmm.
the bosses, they wouldn't expect as much out of him. because, you know, I've been taught I can't do it anyway. I can't amount to anything. It's easier if I don't put as much demand on myself. So if I something wrong with me, they won't expect that much out of me, and I can just, I guess, you know, I won't have to work as hard.
Skate through life.
Yeah, and I won't have to worry about having that responsibility. So he creates this disease. But once you start down that path, it's kind of hard to reverse it. That's the problem.
But it can be done.
It can, once it can you realize you're the one that's created the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a reality check to do that, to make yourself responsible. That's a lot of talk you have to do with yourself, you know.
And there was another one. It came out. He believed that if he got well, his wife would leave him.
Right.
And he'd been married 50 years, and I said, she's not going to leave you now, not if you're sick. But I guess he had that much, what is it, insecurity?
Well, he may have thought that was the only reason she stayed with him, was to take care of him, you know, a need-to-be-needed kind of thing. I mean, it was like a, maybe a codependency kind of thing going on there.
And if he got well, she wouldn't, he wouldn't need her, and so she would leave him. It's funny the way the mind works in this stuff. And I had another man who was, he was really bad, it was kidney disease, and he was on kidney dialysis, and he was getting worse and worse. He got to the point now he could hardly walk. He was using crutches. So they came, took a long way to get here. But what came out with him, that's what I always want to know, when did this start? And what was going on in your life at the time it started?
Right.
This may be good for the listeners to go back and start searching in their mind. When did it begin?
Right. You've got to make that correlation.
The phobia?
Yeah, that's what makes your mind start working in that direction.
The phobia, the allergy, the disease, the illness. When did it start?
Right.
And what was going on in your life at that time? We very, very seldom put those two things together.
Exactly.
Because we don't think there's a connection between the two. When I asked them those questions, maybe for the first time, they have made a connection that, oh, yeah, I was going through a divorce at this time, or, oh, yeah, that was in high school. In puberty, a lot of stuff starts. That's when the hormones kick in, all kinds. There's so much insecurity. A lot of things start at that time. But you start making these connections, you'd be amazed what you're going to come up with.
And it may take a while to make those connections because you've got to really think, you know, and work yourself back to those times. What was going on? Because a lot of times we blocked it out.
Yeah, a lot of times you bury it and you block it out. But that might help the listeners to start thinking about, okay, what was going on? That'll give you a clue as to why you started this whole thing. Well, the man with the kidney dialysis, we found out it began, he had a live-in girlfriend, and she left him. Well, he was feeling sorry for herself and all of this, and so he started developing the kidney diseases to get sympathy from her. Of course, it didn't work. But that part of our mind is not thinking correctly anyway.
No, well, it's thinking, well, they'll feel sorry for me. I've got to make myself weak. And,
or sick.
Something where they'll come in and take care of me. I mean, because it just thinks that's what I would do, probably, you know. But you're not, and maybe, and maybe it's worked before. You never know. I mean, it could be other things happened and it did work that were similar. So.
He, as he's gotten worse and worse now over the years, and now he had to go back and live with his mother. And his mother doesn't think he's really sick because she sees what she thinks is a perfectly healthy man sitting on the couch not doing anything. Why aren't you out working, getting a job? She doesn't understand it. So he says, and see, you listen to people and what they say, they'll leak the little clues. He said, so I've got to really be sick to prove to my mother that I really am sick and I can't work.
Yeah, I've got to, yeah. I've got to show her.
Once you start down that path, you can create, like you said, you can create anything positive in your life, you can create negative.
Right. People think, you know, okay, this is something that's happening to me. It's never something that's happening to you. You are creating it. period, end of statement. That's it.
And I've
you
had people
are responsible.
I've had
this.
People at my lectures who would argue with me about
mm-hmm,
it, saying,
absolutely.
"Oh no, we,
because
I,
they
it,
don't want to be responsible. That's denial. That's yeah. Because once you take responsibility, I mean that's hard to do it. But the exciting thing about it is once you do it, that's very empowering. You have now taken your power back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because now, okay, it's in my court. I can do something about it. As long as it's out here and it's done to you, you're a victim. You know, you can never do it. So
yeah. Because we had one person that came to me, said she went to the doctor, and she'd been taking all the medication the doctors had told her and everything all these years. Anyway, when she went back to the doctor this one time, and they said the only thing was wrong with her now was the interaction and all the medication she was taking. Mm-hmm. And she said, and they said she was going to die. Mm-hmm. And she said, you mean I've been a good little girl and taking everything that you told me to take and it's killing me? And they mm-hmm. said, yes, and there's not anything we can do about it. All you can do is go home and die.
Yeah.
Well, in her mind, she said, I don't think so. So she went home, barely able to walk, and began to look into herbal medicine, and she healed herself.
Right. See, at that point, that's why she created that whole situation, was to get her power.
She took her power back.
Yeah, she took her power back at that point.
And now she's an herbalist, and
right.
she's helping a lot
absolutely.
Of people.
Absolutely. But that's what it's all about, is take your power back. You keep your power. Don't give it away. You are responsible, period. That gives you power. Don't let it beat you up. It gives you power.
Like one more case, and that's the last one I have written down. I suppose I've had so many happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one had her live-in, I can't say it's a boyfriend. He'd been living with her for 35 years. But live-in man lived with her all that time. All of a sudden, just up and left her. Mm-hmm. She was devastated. And all she could think of is, I want to die. I can't live. I want to die. So when she came to see me, she had cancer throughout her body. And I said, well, what do you expect? You asked for it.
Right.
I want to die. So it gave you a way to die.
Right.
She said, yeah, but now I've changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
A little late, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But so be careful what you ask for. Even if you don't think you're creating it, you really are.
Well, you have to monitor. Well, just look at your life and then monitor your thoughts, monitor your words. And look at where you are creating what's going on, because you are doing it. And if you look at it, you will see how you're doing it.
And you have to admit that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I was getting discouraged when I was getting some of these people saying, oh, you know, you didn't heal me, you didn't fix me, when it really mm-hmm. falls back on them. And it was beginning to get me depressed. And then I don't usually hear them, but I heard them as loud as day in my head. It said, your responsibility ends when they walk out that door.
Mm-hmm.
If you have done everything in your power, everything that you know you could do,
okay,
then that's it. That's
right.
All you can possibly do.
Right.
So then your responsibility ends. Okay. Is that done?
Yeah, you have to sign off.
Okay, yeah, it's time to... I was just now ending on that note. Okay, he's going to pull the plug. But they said, if you've done everything you can do, the responsibility is up to them.
Right.
This is food for thought tonight, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, everyone, for tuning in and listening to us tonight.
Be responsible. Have a good week.
Okay. Good night, everybody.